Today, mortgage rates are on the way up. Thanks, Jim. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. More data today and more signs that rate hikes are coming as Australian unemployment unexpectedly fell in December. As the economy added more jobs than anticipated, that prompted traders to boost bets that the Reserve Bank will be forced to raise interest rates as early as next month. And just as we get another dose of budget incompetence from the Treasury too, which in turn is making inflation harder to tame and therefore pushing rates higher. With the unemployment rate remaining lower than at almost any point over the past 5 decades, dropping to 4.1% from 4.3%, it beat economists who thought it would be at 4.3%. And this absolutely strengthens the case for the central bank to raise rates when it next meets in February. Now, of course, the unemployment data is wobbly, it's very volatile, but this is a significant move. For the RBA, the labour market still likely needs to ease to reduce pressure on inflation to have confidence in achieving its inflation target. At the moment, it's going the wrong way, said UBS economist George Tanu. About 65,200 people found work in December, according to the ABS data, and that's a big jump on the gain of 27,000 that economists had expected. So we're going to examine the data in more detail and then discuss further the implications for monetary policy and also just that point about the Treasury messing budget estimates up significantly too, deliberately. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate fell to 4.1% in December. Employed people were up 65,000, both full-time 55,000 and part-time 10,000 people contributed to the rise. And we saw more 15 to 24-year-olds moving into employment, which contributed to the rise in overall employment and the fall in unemployment. Economists actually pointed out that some of the December's fall in the unemployment rate was driven by a fall in the unemployment rate of Australians aged 15 to 24, and that could be linked to seasonal factors because population weighted, this age group explains about two-thirds of the fall in unemployment in December. The growth in employment was driven by male employment, which rose by 49,000 people, while female employment recorded a smaller increase of 17,000 people. This rise in employed people led to the participation rate rising slightly to 66.7%. That was despite a 30,000 person drop in unemployment. The number of hours worked was up by 0.4% in line with the 0.4% rise in employment. And the season-adjusted monthly hours worked reached a record high of over 2 billion hours for the first time. The underemployment rate fell 0.5 percentage points to 5.7% as fewer younger people were unemployed in December, with the 15 to 19-year-olds' underemployment rate falling by 2.1% to a still a significant 17.4%. For all ages, the male underemployment rate fell by 0.8 percentage points to 4.6%, and the female underemployment rate fell by 0.1 percentage points to 6.9% in December. The underutilization rate, which typically shows greater month-to-month changes than other labour force indicators, fell to 9.8% in December. That was down 0.7 percentage points. The trend unemployment rate fell marginally to 4.2%. Monthly hours worked rose 0.2%, and in trend terms, the participation rate stayed at 66.8% in December. So let's be clear, both the labour market and inflation are both running too hot. Actually, the RBA have already said this. In December, the RBA Monetary Policy Board voted unanimously to leave the cash rate at 3.6% and cited both a still tight labour employment market and inflation that's remained stubbornly above target, or a concern that was recently highlighted also by the IMF. Strong jobs numbers prompted traders to price in a 60% chance the RBA will lift the benchmark cash rate next month. Before Thursday's numbers, market pricing was around 30% chance of a rate rise in May after a A softer-than-expected inflation outlook came in December, which some interpreted more enthusiastically as against the rate hike than I think I did. Treasurer Jim Chalmers said the result is welcome during a time of heightened uncertainty in the global economy. Our three big economic priorities for this year are addressing inflation, productivity, and global uncertainty. And our resilient labour market gives us a strong foundation to build on the progress we've already made. Ah, Spin Jim's at it again. By the way, Spin Jim, let's talk about your budget forecasting, shall we? Yes, surely we will. Persistent inflation is a political problem for the Albanese government. Economists characterise the resilient labour market inflation as signs that the economy is hitting its speed limit rather than growing meaningfully. And they said that weak productivity growth and high government spending, which the OECD warned the Albanese government about earlier in the week, are the culprits behind the results, which could lead the RBA to raise rates next week. The main reason for hiking is that the economy has run up against its capacity constraints due to weak productivity growth and a low potential growth rate, rather than growth being particularly strong. Strong public sector spending has also been crowding out the private sector upswing, said HSBC chief economist Paul Bloxham. The focus for the RBA at its meeting in February will be on sustained tightness in the labour market, and not just the most recent data point. Economists noted that while the growth in employment in December was exceptional, more than half of the large jumps in employment have been seen over the past 4 years to be reversed the next month. As I said, very wobbly numbers. The unemployment rate has a tendency to unwind large month-on-month moves. Actually, in the 10 months since 2022 that unemployment has moved 0.2 or more, 7 of those partly reversed the subsequent month, NAB senior economist Taylor Nugent observed. As a result, though, yields on policy-sensitive two-year government bonds rose to the highest level since November, while the currency jumped to its strongest in more than a year, and money markets are now pricing in, as I say, almost 60% chance of a rate hike in February, up from less than one-third prior to the jobs print. Stocks move the other way. The labour market read, along with next week's quarterly inflation print, are going to be crucial for policymakers ahead of the Reserve Bank's February 2nd and 3rd policy meeting, and the central bank may be approaching an inflection point where it needs to decide whether to keep the key rate unchanged or pivot to a hike to help tame renewed inflation pressures. Labour market data removed one hurdle to the RBA hike in February, but the key test is next week's fourth quarter inflation reading, said Carol Kong, a strategist at Commonwealth Bank of Australia. Consumer prices may have risen 0.9% in the quarter, which we think will be sufficiently strong to compel the Reserve Bank to hike in February. Now, just to be clear, the RBA undertook a brief easing cycle between February and August last year when it cut the key rate by a total of 75 basis points to 3.6%. However, at the December policy meeting, Governor Michelle Bullock said that further easing is unlikely in the near term and the next move could well be a hike. In fact, fixed-rate mortgages have already moved up quite strongly, as I reported recently. The strong employment data has helped extend the Aussie's gain this year to 1.8% and is the best performer among the group of 10 currencies. And there's prospect of a rate hike in Australia compared to cuts in the US helped the case of currency traders who favour the former. Money markets are fully pricing in a Reserve Bank rate rise for May, and there's a better than 90% chance of two hikes this year. Earlier in the month, RBA Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser described inflation as too high and echoed Bullock's remarks, saying Australians have probably seen the last cut of the easing cycle. At the same time, he signalled that the rate setting board is taking a patient approach to controlling inflation. They should have put rates higher earlier, in my view. The RBA operates under a dual mandate, which aims for inflation to be at the midpoint of its 2-3% target while trying to keep the economy at maximum sustainable employment. But something else we need to factor in is the strong, some would say excessive, government spending. And as economist Chris Richardson pointed out on X, the cost forecasting in the budget is getting a lot worse. How bad is it? The budget update issued just ahead of Christmas added another, wait for it, $47.8 billion to government spending. That's the equivalent of doubling last year's NDIS costs. So we're talking really big bucks here. That $47.8 billion wasn't because the economic or revenue forecasts have been revised. The cost estimates are separately updated for new forecasts for jobs and joblessness, prices and wages, interest and exchange rates, and also for new GST estimates because any changes there are passed on to the states. And nor is it because of new policies. They're also separately accounted for. Rather, the extra $47.8 billion that we're spending is simply because existing policies are now expected to be more expensive than earlier thought. The cost forecast of the feds used to be pretty accurate. In the 6 years before COVID, those revisions averaged around $0.7 billion. Then COVID threw a spanner in the works. Every time the government updated the budget, it added an additional $3 billion to expected costs. Still, the ravages of COVID have long since gone into the rearview mirror, so you'd hope those forecasting errors would shrink again. But as we see, they didn't. There have actually been 7 budget updates since late 2022, and they've revealed errors that average $18.4 billion. And now, the latest cost revision has weighed in at $47.8 billion, more than expected at the 2025-26 budget. The bottom line is this. It's long past time for an overhaul of our budget rules, reporting and forecasting. They are all being badly abused. We are, he says, being taken for mugs. And unless and until we hold our politicians to a higher standard, then maybe we deserve to be. Oh, and the budget revisions in December, which amounted to about 1.5% of spending in the forward estimates, includes an $11.6 billion blowout of Labour's non-means-tested home battery subsidy programme, which was originally forecast to cost just $2.3 billion, despite being a poster child for poor policy making. The budget reporting rules allowed the government to proudly proclaim the solar battery policy had saved money rather than spent it. So the Treasury is not getting the basics right. And as discussed in the AFR, our budget reporting rules have become budget rotting rules. Peter Drucker famously said that what gets measured gets managed. Sadly, the Canberra equivalent is that what gets reported gets manipulated. The media spent decades reporting the cash underlying budget balance. In response, the politicians moved much of the spending off budget because until recently that hasn't had as much attention as the numbers that usually hog the headlines. And in the same vein, the cost of government policy decisions is detailed in a little perler that Chris Richardson calls the Table of Truth. But the more attention the Table of Truth gets, the less truth it contains. And in the meantime, the quality of government cost forecasting is fading fast. So it is long past time for an overhaul of our budget rules, reporting and forecasting. They are all being badly abused, as Chris says in his article. Our silly budget reporting rules allow a completely cooked policy-making disaster to show up as large budgetary savings made by our very responsible treasurer. The knock-on effect, of course, is higher inflation, more taxes, lower economic growth, and yes, you've guessed it, higher interest rates. So you know that Spin Jim is where much of the blame needs to be sheeted for those higher mortgage rates that are incoming. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.